Grant Ashton spent 30 years deep in the world of global finance and banking, running trade floors and working as a partner at a hedge fund. But as always seems to happen, well, at least on this show, there soon arrived an entrepreneurial itch. And in Grant's case, it came in the form of a wine case. Grant's now the CEO of 67 Pall Mall, a members club for wine lovers. But how do you get the club from idea to execution? This is Eureka on Monocle 24. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. Each week we bring you one entrepreneur's story, the early inspirations, the struggles, and the path to success. This week, Grant tells his story.
It was really weird. I suppose a lot of entrepreneurs do this, an investment club. I mean, I ended up tracking stocks and shares and trading them for paper, and oddly was actually reasonably good at it. Absolutely no process behind it. I had all the other ideas about doing every other thing you could end up doing, but I ended up in the city, so I ended up doing what I thought was... I thought I was going to like doing, and I ended up doing it for 28 years or something like that. So I ended up running a trading floor at Barclays and working at Salomon and UBS and all these places. And oddly, I didn't start up by wanting to be a pilot or something like that, or a doctor, and ending up in the city. I ended up started off from the age of probably about 12, 13, thinking, oh, you know what, I could do this. And that's where I ended up. Oddly, in 2010, I left Barclays. And I took a year off, so I thought, you know, after 25 years, every 25 years you can have a year off. Okay, so, you know, in 10 years' time, you're allowed to do two. I was out of Barclays, I sat there, I did a bunch of things. I passed my CFA level one, I did up my house, I started a biomethane gas business. And at the same time, I wrote down my wine problem. So I got a sheet of A4, and I kind of wrote down on the top of it, you've got too much wine, what are you going to do about it? And that's kind of how I solve problems, is I write them down. I say, okay, you've got too much wine. You need to sell some wine. How are we going to sell it? And I looked at the kind of the wholesale market, which was merchants, and saying, you know, actually, I'm going to take down 20, 30% from market to sell this wine. So I kind of applied what I do or did in the city in terms of, you know, when you've got a stick position that you need to sell, you retail it. You sell it in small pieces to retail investors. Doesn't mean it's a bad thing. You know, it's just that you've got too much of it and you need to get out of it. So in practice, that's what I did. So I said, right, okay, the thing to do here is open a wine bar. When the market's moving the right way, wine is a wonderful thing. You know, you're involved, the merchants come and offer it to you all the time. It's a one-way market. You know, you have merchants every single year, you have a new supply coming on. Wine is very easy to buy. It's really quite difficult to sell. Certainly if you want to try and sell it wholesale, not the easiest thing you've ever done. Retailing it involves setting up some way of moving it to, you know, the drinker, to, you know, as we do now. I ended up trading it because actually it made money. It was very interesting. When it trends the right way as an investment, wine is stunning. I think I enjoyed trading it. Very few things I can do, I can drink them if the investment goes wrong. And that, there are a lot of people, when they talk about how they invest in wine, it's always the bottom line is, I'll have a few dinner parties and I'll drink my way out of the problem. So, you know, I actually ended up going back into the city. I mean, this took quite a long time to do. So the original idea was to open a wine bar in Marylebone, and myself and four or five of my friends would put their wine collections into it. We'd have a nice little place to go and a very light amount of cuisine and just have a great place to drink some wine. And to retail it to other like-minded people who wanted to go into a wine bar. Couldn't find the right premises in Marylebone. And so ended up finding this amazing old building, this incredible old banking hall in St. James in Pall Mall, and put an offer on it. Took a very long time to make it work, because in practice it was a banking hall. You had to turn that from a banking hall via all the various permissions and licenses you need into what ended up being a club. So we went from a kind of let's open a wine bar into a 14,000-15,000 square foot building, and the business model changed a lot over that period of time into partially a storage business, partially an events business, partially a wine retail, you know, a bar and restaurant business, but all of it wrapped together with the fact that St. James is the heart of Clubland, and historically had 150 clubs in London, all based within probably a mile and a half, 2 miles of St. James. If you look up and down Pall Mall, you look up and down St. James's Street, virtually every building is a members club. I always say this, I'm a big fat spider. I sit in the middle of a web. The web was my original investors, which was 13 that became 38 investors. So you can imagine, you know, building the web out from the centre. Each kind of vector, if you like, on that web produced other interesting people coming along. So at the end of the day, I always talk about this in terms of wine circles. Everyone that loves fine wine has their little circle of friends they'll drink their wine with. And every wine circle is almost like a whole bunch of kind of interlocking Venn diagrams where you have my wine circle touches somebody else's wine circle, and somebody could be certainly the member of two or three or five different wine circles that they'll be in. I don't know all those people, but some of my shareholders did, so we brought those in. The members that we brought in, the first 200-300, then brought in another 300-400, brought in another 1,000, you know. And so in practice, it was a very viral. We didn't think about it in terms of it being a viral campaign, but in practice, you know, our total advertising spend on £67 Pall Mall was £42.50 on Google AdWords, and that's all we ever did. I used to work long days. I now work weekends. You know, my poor wife. You know, I my poor children, I spend so much time just focusing. I'm very single-minded in that, because you have to be, because the difference, this is going to sound trite, but I now have 88 staff who are very different to the 20, 30, 50 staff I'd have had working in a bank. If one of them didn't get paid at the end of the month because the pay run failed or something, working in a bank wouldn't matter. No, it would not genuinely matter. It would not. They'd whine and bitch and moan about it. It wouldn't suffer. I now have 70 of my 88 staff, because we are in hospitality, because of the nature of who those people are. It's a much, much younger team. That's a big responsibility. That's something I've really learned, is actually to be responsible, which is I'm now responsible for the livelihood of 88 people, 70 of which absolutely rely upon the fact that I'm going to be there at the end of the month for them. And that's a big responsibility. I think I've learned that. That sobers up quite quick.
Grant Ashton there on his move from finance to wine. Eureka will be back next Friday. And of course, tune into The Entrepreneurs every Wednesday at 1900 London time. Next week, we'll stick with the spirits and booze theme. I'm with the founder of one of London's most famous beer brands, Camden Town Brewery. This episode was edited by Toby Hammond and Wei-Dong Lin. I'm Daniel Giacopelli. Thanks for listening.